Good morning. It is Sunday morning, and we are excited for you to be here with us listening on WPTR. And we are a show that studies the Bible and teaches people about the Bible. Our show is called Old Lion, Young Lion. And why do we call our show that? Well, the reason is the Bible teaches some clear things. Number one, it teaches that we work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And we believe that the Bible teaches us very clearly that the righteous will speak boldly as lions. And we are wanting to do that. We want to uncover truth and speak it boldly. And my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazleton. We are the Old Lion and the Young Lion. We are part of the pastoral staff of Electric City Baptist Church, and we are located in the heart of Schenectady on 2350 Hamburg Street. And we meet every Sunday. We gather every Sunday at 10:30. We'd love for you to come see the Old Lion and the Young Lion and study the Scripture and worship Jesus with us. Now, we have a new campaign running here in 2024, and any one of you out there that's been listening to the show that has a Bible question or a topic that you'd like covered, we ask you to go ahead and give us an email. It's oldlionandyounglion@gmail.com. oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Reach out to us and share us your thoughts. And if you get on the show, we're going to send you a Old Lion, Young Lion piece of merch. And you do not want to miss out on this. It's going to be the summer's hottest piece of clothing that you can get, and you're not going to want to miss it. So we've been excited walking through the book of Colossians, a New Testament book. But we have a little bit of a tradition that we keep here on our show, and that's that we kick off every show with a word of prayer. And we ask that you step into that with us if you're listening, to take a moment and pause what you're doing and get your Sunday morning going with a word of prayer. And Old Lion Sam, you mind kicking our show off with a word of prayer?
Not at all. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you today for the privilege of being here on the radio, unlocking the mysteries of the universe that you've given to us through your word. This revelation that came to us, this man, this Apostle Paul, imprisoned and yet full of joy, full of hope, full of truth, and writing this letter that we now have in our hands today and are able to read and understand your kingdom. So, Father, I pray that our voices would be clear, our thoughts would be clear today, and that those who are within the sound of our voice would hear and understand the word and the will of God, that their lives may be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all those that are listening to the show. We don't know what you're walking through or the things that have been going on in your life this winter or in this past season, but we pray a blessing over that, that this show is a blessing to you, and that whatever you're walking through, you can take a couple steps closer to the Almighty God. So we've been in the book of Colossians, and this is a letter that's written over 2,000 years ago, and it's in the Holy Bible. And what we believe is that the Holy Spirit inspired or led Paul, the apostle, to write this letter to a church 2,000 years ago, and also to us today. And we believe that the things that are written inside of the Holy Scripture are transcendent truths that last from age to age and that are helpful for everyone that reads them and that digs into them and finds their way into this book in search for truth. So we're getting near the end of chapter number 2, and this is only a 4-chapter book, but Sam, why don't you give us a little look back at where we've been and maybe where we're going and some insights that you've seen so far and some things you're grateful that Paul shared with us.
We're coming off the mountaintop this week, basically. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15, we found that this handwriting of ordinances, this contract with its legal demands that was against us, was nailed to Jesus' cross, and we were completely released. It was as if our debt was paid, so that that promissory note that we had, that mortgage that we had against our soul, it was completely paid off by Jesus, and we were set free from that. Before that, a couple weeks, we looked at chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Beware that no one carries you off as spoil through his philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. And so we found that the world has these principles, has these ideas that are not in agreement with the Bible. And guess what? God gets to determine what is true. He's the creator of everything. He gets to decide what's good, what's true, and what's right. This is not something that he's given over to men to decide for themselves what's good and what's true and what's right. He gets to decide this. And so we find that the battle as it sets up now, even though Jesus Christ has taken away the list of violations that we had against the law, he's removed it, he's paid the price, he's allowed us to be free, somehow the world is still bound up in these deceptions. And our enemy, Satan, is the one who is sowing these deceptions into the world through people and through lies.
And you may be out there saying, I completely understand that. I've been caught in a lie myself. And you may have thought, hey, I've been caught up in some kind of propaganda or thought process that I realized later was a bad idea, and I had to get out of that. And Paul's warning us in this book in regards to those very things. And when we see the book of Colossians as a whole, we recognize it as a love letter of hope that says you can be free. Once someone is set free by placing their faith in Jesus Christ, then the letter goes on with warnings that we need to continue to walk, to be on guard. Imagine for a second if someone handed you this new life but then gave you no instructions on how to walk it out. You may feel like, okay, I was lost, now I've been found, but now I feel lost again. I don't know what to do or where to go. But God has given us this book of instructions, given us this book of warnings, and a lot of people consider a book of instructions or warnings to be heavy and burdensome, but that's not true. God's commandments, statutes, and teachings are all to lead you into a full amount of joy rather than burdensome, lostness, brokenness, and hurt. He wants you to lead a life that's fulfilled and satisfied and enjoyable in Him. We got to recognize that God is love. God doesn't just love, He is love. And He wants you to beware of the false deceptions and lies that the world has for you and be free to walk a life of following after Him in His statutes, commandments, and laws. And it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And as we get started into chapter 2 and verse 16 this week, and I'm hoping that we're going to get right on through verse 23, the end of chapter 2 today, and we'll be finally in chapter 3 next week.
If you followed along our show, you know that it's a long, it's a big ask to get to help us get through a chapter, but we're going to do our best here.
Yeah, but look what it says here. It says, "Let no one therefore judge you in eating and in drinking or with respect to a feast or a new moon or of a Sabbath." You might say to yourself, well, what on earth is he talking about there? And we need to make reference to an important controversy that arose early on in the establishment of the church. In Acts chapter 15, we read about a problem that occurred. In the early church, Jesus Christ, he had died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead. The Spirit of God, according to Jesus' promise after he ascended, was poured out on the church of that day. All the people in the church, initially, every single one of them, 100%, were all Jewish people. These were people who lived in Israel. And so we find out a few chapters later, all of a sudden, some of these Greek-speaking Jews are coming to Christ. Then later on, Peter, the apostle, gets a vision that leads him to go and bring the good news of Jesus Christ to some Gentile people, some Italians. And he brings this message to them. They receive it. The Holy Spirit gets poured out upon them. Now, we have Gentiles, people who are non-Jews, and we have Jews in the church, mostly Jews. And the Jews are like, what's going on here? I didn't realize that there were going to be Gentiles as part of this thing. And they're finally understanding that God indeed has called not only Jews, but Gentiles to be Christians. And so there's a controversy, though. The people coming into the church who are Gentiles have never lived their lives according to all the specific laws that the Hebrews were following. And so the people of the Hebrew faith were saying, hey, it's okay that these Gentiles can come and be part of the church, but they have to get circumcised. We talked about that last week. They have to get circumcised. They have to follow all the laws of Moses, just like we're doing. Otherwise, they cannot be saved. And so there was a big argument that came in Acts chapter 15. It was a huge controversy. And finally, Peter the apostle stood up and he said, look, you guys, why are you making a trial of God by ordering that these people keep laws that even we are unable to keep? And he recognized that even the Jewish people who tried to follow the law had failed at it miserably. And this is why Jesus came in the first place. Jesus came to save us because nobody can keep all these laws. So Jesus paid the price for our transgressions, and now we are saved by our faith in Jesus Christ, not by adhering to these laws, which we've demonstrated that we cannot do.
So once this kind of journey of the early church learning how to operate underneath what Jesus taught comes to fruition, Paul begins to write this letter in Colossians and warns you to beware of those people that might bring you into bondage over things that Christ has not commanded us to do. That's what we find in Colossians chapter 2. Now, there may be people out here that kind of view church in general as a place that just kind of gives you some rules that you have to live by, kind of gives you some laws that you need to abide, and really just helps you to be a more obedient citizen in your community. And maybe to some degree that's true. As the church teaches character, you ought to look for ways to improve the character that you have and look for ways to be maybe a better participant here on earth and in our country. But really what the purpose of this is in Colossians 2 is that you beware of the traps of men so that you can serve and honor God. And I think it's a big warning for us to recognize as he continues on, he gives us additional thought. He says that these things, holy days and Sabbaths, are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And then let's go to verse 18. Sam, why don't you read verse 18 and see where this thought that Paul is taking us on in regards to not letting men judge us on things outwardly, but wanting us to be dedicated to Christ holy.
Verse 18, let no one defraud you by judging you unworthy of your prize in self-made humility and the worship of the angels, dwelling on things that he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his mind, which is set on the flesh.
Well, this verse is so important because out in the world, I challenge everybody, and maybe I ought to be careful with this, but I challenge you to go on Facebook or YouTube or just an infomercial on TV, and you're finding people that are selling you snake oils of you being in the spirit realm or in the mystic realm of how you can better your life. And they're asking you to believe on the things that they think are the way, the truth, and the life, but they're selling it to you for a measly price of $19.99 a month, and you can have a better life with these crystals. But what's some of your take on this verse, Sam?
Peter had said back in that verse we were talking about in Acts chapter 15, he says, why are you putting a yoke upon the neck of the disciples that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? And so the idea here is people are putting a heavy burden on other people's shoulders to carry. And Jesus said this, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, this is the work of God. There's no heavy load that I'm laying on you. All I'm saying is believe in me. Believe in the Son of God. That's the only burden that Jesus is placing on people. And yet, Paul's issuing this warning. There's some people that are going to come and say, hey, you better make sure you don't eat this, or that you do eat this, or you don't eat that. You better make sure you never drink this, or you never touch that. You better make sure that you follow this festival, this feast. You better make sure that you observe this new moon. You better make sure that you don't do anything on the Sabbath day. And people are going to put these extra burdens that nobody in the history of mankind has been able to bear these burdens. And this is why Jesus had to die. And so now they're kind of trying to undo the work that Jesus did by bringing people again under these religious these false religious burdens that God never intended for us.
If you look out on the landscape of the world, it appears like there's just a new religion popping up every other day. And it's a new trap for someone to be caught up in. Each week, there's a new thing that you can be caught up in and trapped in. And I love at the end of verse number 19, and I know what we're attempting to get through this whole chapter, and you should go read this and take time to study this on your own. But at the end of verse number 19 in Colossians 2, it gives us one of the ways by which we can walk out of these traps, to increase with the increase of God. And it gives an idea that as you learn more and know more about God and what he's done for you and who he is and who his character is, he sets you free from the rudiments and philosophies and practices of a world that's looking to destroy you. And maybe at first you're like, Pastor Anthony, those are some harsh criticisms of things in the world. But we've all been there. You give your life up for the things of this world and it never pays you back the thing that you hope for. There's an old saying that says, sin will take you farther than you ever want to go and take from you more than you've ever wanted to give. And God says the opportunity for you to walk in some peace and satisfaction and fulfillment is to increase with the increase of God.
This is the contrast. He's offering to us life and life more abundantly.
Right.
He didn't come to add a bunch of burdens, to add a bunch of rules, to add a bunch of things. You got to do this and you got to do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. He wanted to bring us life, simple life, by putting our faith in Jesus Christ and simply following him. We get all the things, all the good things that God intended for us without all of these burdens.
Yeah, then, well, let's go to verse 20. This is so key because it gives... Well, every time Paul does this in all of his letters, he gives some instruction and then he gives you the fuel whereby you're empowered to accomplish these instructions that he gave you. So he says, hey, beware of these traps that are coming after you. And then he says in verse number 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Paul says, don't you understand that as you've placed your faith in Christ, you've died from those things? You've been set free from having to accomplish all these ordinances that are in the world? You actually have the ability, as you've placed your faith in Jesus, to deny the desires to fall into the traps of the world and accomplish the mission and purpose that Jesus has placed for you. You've been given that gift if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. So then he just starts to describe what these rudiments of the world are. Let's look at some of them in verse number 21 and 22. Go ahead.
He says, why do you subject yourself to these ordinances, such as do not handle, nor taste, nor touch. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. And it says, regarding things which are all going to perish as they are used, according to the commandments and teachings of men. This is what men think is walking righteously. You ever heard the expression, I don't smoke, drink, or chew, or run with those who do? This is the idea, and sometimes the world and even the church has this idea of what is righteous and godly living, which is based on what you don't do. Hey, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't chew tobacco, I don't run with those who are like that. And they have this mischaracterization of what a life of righteousness and a life of godliness is, based on saying it's what you don't do. And what the Bible teaches us, a completely different story here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So righteousness is actually having the righteous one living by his Spirit on the inside. It's not a matter of what we're doing with our fleshly bodies on the outside. It's a matter of who is living on the inside. But the truth is there, if the righteous one is living by his Spirit on the inside of you, what you are naturally going to do is the things that the righteous one would do.
And I love this, right? He calls Jesus the light of the world. And what we're reading in Colossians 2 is that as you have placed your faith in Jesus and he is in you and you are in him, he is able to show the light of truth on all of these deceptions that find their way into the world. The Bible says that the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And once you stepped away from the deception of the things that are happening in the world and the philosophies, the vain philosophies of men, you find that you're able to spot these foolish and tricks and these ideologies that capture men and call it religion.
Right.
Jesus sets you free from that.
Look at this verse 23, which is the closing verse of chapter 2 in Colossians. And it's talking about these commandments of men. Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. Reminds you a little bit, doesn't it, of the Garden of Eden with this tree of the knowledge of good and evil sitting in the midst of it. And God had said, you shall not eat of that tree, for in the day you eat of it, you shall die. This is a picture of the laws of men, the laws of commandments and ordinances. They can never make us righteous. We're only made righteous by faith in the righteous one and the righteous one living his life through us. But look at verse 23. These things, these human precepts and teachings, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism. That's just a harsh treatment of your body, severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And so here's this problem that we have, which is indwelling sin, which we've talked about. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, sin entered the world and death through sin. And so this indwelling sin has now taken us captive, led us to do things that are harmful to ourselves and to other people. But this is a false religion, the Bible says, that tells you, say, you can stop this indwelling sin by going and controlling your behavior. You can control the outside of what you do. If you stop doing this, if you stop doing that, then you will be good on the inside. This is false according to the Bible. The truth is, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our old corrupt self that was in bondage to indwelling sin was crucified with him. When we came up out of the waters of baptism, we are walking in newness of life with Jesus Christ on the inside, and he's leading us into all righteousness.
You may have heard the phrase, it's very popular, new year, new you. This idea is that you can kind of redeem yourself, that you can kind of reinvent yourself. And to some degree, in seasons of time, you may need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and have an outlook that's wanting to go out and accomplish something. But let me give you the honest truth from the Word of God. Paul says this in other books where he says, I'm going to speak this as if I'm speaking to wise men, he says. Then he tells you, if you consider yourself a wise man, judge what I'm saying. And he says, take heed, any of you that think you stand, for if you do think that, you will fall. So all of these man-made religions and all of these mystic arts and all of these things that promise you all of these grand things but don't actually bring you to Jesus Christ, they're all rooted in man's pride and desire to be their own God. And Paul says, hey, judge what I'm saying. The only way by which you can escape idolatry and you can escape slavery to the world's principalities and the world's philosophies and the rudiments of the world is if you are dead and buried in Christ and alive to God. This sounds like it's deep, and you know what? It is deep. And I'd ask for you to consider what we're talking about today from the book of Colossians so that you also can be made free. Because whom the Son sets free
is free indeed.
Is free indeed.
Look at this beautiful thing in verse 19. It says, not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. He breaks it down and it makes it so simple. It may be deep, it may have a lot of nuance to it, but it comes down and it boils down to this one thing. We need to hold fast to the head. And who is the head? If you remember from Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 18, it says that he is the head. Jesus Christ is the head. If we can cling to Jesus, if we can hold on to Jesus with everything that's in us, all these other deceptions, all the other things of the world will fall away if we can stay attached to him who is the head.
So, Old Logan, I want to ask you a question to kind of start to close our show out, and that's this. If there were somebody out there that says, hey, I am struggling, I am kind of going through a tough season. I don't understand what's going on in the world. I barely understand what's going on in my life. I'd like some help. Where would I go to find this? What would you tell that person that came to you and said, I'm looking and hoping for something. The world's not offering me it. Where can I find it? How can I find it?
Two things. One, the first thing I would advise to that person, why don't you close the door to your bedroom and get on your knees and ask God to show himself to you. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive. He is the risen Lord. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Second thing I would advise you to do, open up your Bible, because this is his revelation to mankind. And so we want to be those who say, hey, God has given me this book. I'm going to see what it says. And so I would recommend that you'd open up your Bible. I would read in the Gospel of John. I would say the Gospel of John's a great place to start to get to know who Jesus is. And then the last thing I would say is nobody usually comes to Jesus Christ all by themselves without help from another person who already knows Jesus. That's the way God has set it up. Now, it happens every now and again. I know a few people who have come to Christ without any help from other people who led them. But this is the way the Bible says, through our preaching, that people believe. That's what the plan that God has set up. So I would encourage you to go find somebody who believes in Jesus, is a born-again believer in Christ. And one place you could find that is at 2350 Hamburg Street at ECBC. We got a whole house full of people whose lives have been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ.
And Sam, I love that answer. And you know, we remind you of this every week. We're not a show that talks about politics, though we may dabble. We're not a show that talks about your hobbies, though we may enjoy our own. We're not a show that talks about commentary on society or anything like that. We're a show that uncovers the truth of Scripture and declares it boldly. We are Old Lion and Young Lion, and we take it as our responsibility to shout out to the whole world what the Word of God has said. We thank you for taking this journey with us. We hope that God blesses you, and we're excited about what the future holds.
See you at church.